Hello everyone and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today it's me because I moved back home this week and I wasn't quite sure whether I would be probably too busy to have a guest. I didn't know what was going to be happening. I was also at an expo over the last weekend, so I moved back in 2 weeks. I've moved back home, I've gone to an expo, moved out of London, all this type of stuff, and I just didn't want to start booking guests in at the same time because it would just been an absolute crazy fest, really. To try and figure out all of that and make sure that was all going okay. So, but what I wanted to do on today's episode, as you can see by the title, I wanted to talk a little bit about how I got into design for the first time to see whether these stories and this story resonates with any of you guys, or to make you kind of see that you don't have to kind of go straight into design from doing something like coming straight out of college, or you don't have to go straight into design because that's what you've always wanted to do. You still need to go and find and explore and look at different things. So I was quite lucky because, well, I'll tell you the story in a minute. I think that's what we're going to do. But on today's episode, we are brought to you by Skillshare. You can go to get 2 free months of Skillshare by going to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign for free, well, 2 months of free unlimited courses on everything from writing to accounting to business to social media. And of course, design, logo design, and brand identity work. Now, these 2 free months, you can cancel them at any time. I use Skillshare all the time, and I really need to start giving you guys some recommendations. But the first one I can recommend to you is Aaron Draplin's new series that he put out about tips for Illustrator and his design process. Go and check that out with the link in the description of this episode. Get your 2 free months and help support the show. And so thank you to Skillshare for the 2 free months for all of you guys listening at home. And yeah, let's get into today's show. Right, okay, so we're going to need to rewind the clock a little bit, probably about, nearly 10 years at this point, which is just honestly a little insane to think about. But yeah, probably rewinding the clock about 10 years because when I first really realized what design was and what it could mean for the world and what the way it's presented in the world was when I started really getting into heavy metal and going to gigs and local concerts and things like that. Because I was really into the album art side and the merch design side. So rewinding 10 years or so, I was probably 14 or 15 years old. And I started... literally, I think it was on my friend Alex's like 14th or 15th birthday, we went to a gig or something like that, because I had to wait for one of my friends, I think, to turn a certain age. I can't quite remember, this is so long ago, but I started attending different gigs and saw, obviously, all the band t-shirts they'd have around the venue. You'd see all the little weird bits of merch as well that the people would make to try and get people's attention, whether that was hats or pins or even lighters was something I saw quite a lot of. You don't see that much stuff, honestly, anymore. Obviously, at gigs and stuff, you see things like vinyl now. Like, it's so much cheaper to print vinyl than it was 10 years ago. So people are taking vinyls as merch and people are spending 25 quid on a vinyl, which is insane to me. But you can also buy t-shirts and things like that. So these are the types of things I was seeing at those gigs when I was about 14 or 15. And it was all the stuff that you'd probably think as normal now to see at a gig, but when I was that young, it really did amaze me what you could get and how much work was put into the artistic and design choices for those things. Now, obviously, 10 years ago, and a lot of these small gigs I was going to, a large portion of the merchandise was designed by the bands. So I'm probably looking back on it with a bit of nostalgia and a bit of like rose-tinted glasses, because it probably was really awful. But it was good enough to get me interested and good enough to make me think that, oh, I want to try and do that one day, because I was in and out of a couple of different bands at the time. And we'll get on to why that was important in a few minutes. But at that age, I was more amazed at the different merchandise and all the different ways that design could be used, could be implemented. And that was largely like Photoshop stuff. So heavy album artwork for metal albums was usually some kind of Photoshop job. It wasn't really like a Swiss typeface kind of poster. But that's when I first kind of realized what design was. And then I went to college. So college in the UK, for anyone outside of the UK, is between the ages of 16 and 18. So that would be the last 2 years of high school for anyone who has that system in particular. But anyway, I was doing a ton of academic subjects. So throughout, up until I was 18, so my full education, kind of my education career, I didn't do any design subjects really. I did an art GCSE, but art GCSE was basically, here's a brief, go and make whatever the hell you want and we'll check back on you in 8 weeks. So it wasn't really a design course of any description. It was just like a go and do some art, and somehow I got an A in that, which is pretty entertaining. But yeah, so I went to college 16 to 18, and I was just doing academic subjects. I thought because I did so well in my academic subjects at GCSE that for some reason that would make me really good in college. And within the first, I think the first September, October, November, December. Yeah, so we had exams the first January I was there. So in the first 4 months, we had exams to test how well we were doing and how we were coping with the new subjects. And I realized very, very quickly off the basis of those first exams in the first of 2 years that I was not going to do very well, because not only had I picked subjects that I didn't really care about, because although I was good at them, I didn't really enjoy them. So the only one of those ones that I really enjoyed was history. But I hated writing coursework. I hated writing essays, because what was the point? The essays at the time were just like, oh, memorize this set of dates. And then when you've memorized that set of dates, you have to convert it into a 2,000 word essay. And it's like, but why? It's like 2,000 words isn't even that much now, but like for thinking about it. But to have to sit down and write something that you really didn't want to write was just awful. So I realized it in these first 4 to 5 months of college that I'd made a really bad mistake. But I just kind of thought, oh, we'll just see it through. It'll be all right. I'll just do some extra revisions and retake the tests. So I was just doing that and very quickly learning that I was not so great at college and academic subjects. And I was still dabbling here with music and different bands and kind of dabbling in design and stuff a little bit when I could, using Photoshop and stuff. But that was just like, it wasn't really on my radar. But then at one point during college, my band at the time needed to have some merchandise made. So we needed to make some kind of rough EP cover for some recordings we did, which never actually got released, but we made it anyway. And then we also needed a t-shirt design, or a couple of t-shirt designs, and a logo, because we had nothing. Because this is like when Facebook pages were kind of starting as well. So we needed a Facebook page with a logo on it and all this type of stuff. So I spent, oh geez, a considerable amount of time. It was probably almost every single free period, every like free lesson or lunchtime that I had in the library, learning how to use Adobe Illustrator. Because I'd heard that Adobe Illustrator and vector artwork was what you needed to do for logos. Not quite sure where I heard that, to be honest, but it was definitely that software. And I'm trying to rack my brain to figure out where I heard that. But it might have just been a Google search, but I was spending every single free period and lunchtime learning how to use Adobe's Illustrator. And at the time I was like just manipulating text. I was making text. I was using the warp tool because I had some basic Photoshop knowledge. So I was looking for different tools that I knew what they did, or I could look at the tool and I could go, okay, well, I think when I click this button, this thing shows up. So I'll drag that thing around and figure out how to use the pen tool, or I'll figure out how to use the anchors or warp text and things like that. But it was so just push buttons and click things and see what happened, because there were tutorials at the time for Adobe Illustrator, but because I, A, was stubborn, and B, didn't have headphones. I don't even think the computers in the library had headphone jacks in them, so I couldn't have even listened to it if I wanted to. But the Adobe Illustrator tutorials were just taking me too long, because I'm the type of person where you just need to leave me with the software and just let me push and poke and figure things out by myself, rather than giving me a manual, because I'll just sit there and go, I don't want to read this manual. This is dumb. Let me just push and prod and see what I can do to fix things and mess things around. So I was twisting and warping and adjusting text largely. And then I was also downloading free vector icons for different shapes and different tools. What was something? So like a pair of scissors for something, maybe a hand, maybe like a basic dog icon or something like that. Nothing that was ever used in like actual printed stuff, but just to mess around with. And I ended up learning kind of those basics, enough to make a t-shirt design that was not great, but it did the job, and a logo design that was largely just warped text and just like slicing sections through text and dividing things and moving stuff around. And that's the first few times where I realized that you could use Illustrator in that way, but it was bad. What I was making was really bad. But I did spend the majority of my free time at college learning how to do that, because largely because the people I'd kind of gone to college with sucked, so I needed to find new friends. But like finding the differences between those people and meeting new people took a long time. But we got there in the end. But that's a whole other story for another time. But I was learning this software, and while I was improving my skills in that and getting more hooked on this design side, I was very quickly realizing that I was also getting really bad grades in the rest of my subjects. I was like, okay, well, I either need to pick one here. I either need to knuckle down and get these grades back up, which I really didn't want to do because I really didn't care for college at the time. It was getting to the point where they were saying things like, oh, you need to plan to go to university and plan the rest of your life. And I'm like, I don't even know what I want to do for the next 6 months. You're asking me I should pick something for the next 4 years of my life? Okay, I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to go over here and teach myself this thing that could be more useful than university. And it turns out it was. But yeah, so I spent every lunchtime doing that, just pushing buttons around, seeing what happened. And we kind of got towards the end of college. And as I say, my grades were less than good, but they were average enough to not fail, which is a good thing. And anyway, no one cares anymore. So no one will even ask me what my A-levels were. They'll be like, oh, did you go to university? And I'll be like, no. And they'll go, okay, cool. Well, what work have you done? And I'm like, okay, well, because it just doesn't matter. You only need those qualifications from college to get into university. That's it. No one cares. No one checks them. Not like, nobody gives a damn. So it doesn't matter in the long run. But I'd learned basics for Illustrator and kind of got hooked on this. Oh, I'd love to make merch. I'd love to design merch. I'd love to maybe even print t-shirts. So after college, I sent an email to a local t-shirt printers to see if they would let me come down, have a look around, see what's going on, maybe see if there's something, a skill that I'd like to try and learn or get a job with. And I was very lucky that there was literally a t-shirt printers a mile and a half from my house. So I could cycle there in about 15 minutes, which was amazing because I am not the type of person who could get on an hour commute to work, which I know for some of you guys listening, like, an hour commute to work's nothing. I'm like, yeah, but I'd rather just not commute. I'd rather commute for like 15 to 20 minutes at max, because I'm just burning money if not. So it's like, well, that's my mentality. But anyway, I was very lucky that this t-shirt printers was just down the road. So I sent them an email and they let me come down to see the shop and see where they're production stuff was going on. And at the time it looked kind of good, and I felt that, well, if I want to learn this skill, this is the best way to do it. It's local to where I live. I don't have to travel very far. I know I'm not going to get much money because it's a new skill. I'd have to go in at like super minimum wage, which sucked because it meant that I was not making very much money at all, and it wasn't even 5 days a week to start with. It was like 3 days a week. So I was only making like 100 or £120 a week, which is nothing. But straight out of college with no desire to go to university, it was better than nothing. So I took it. And looking back, I was probably a little naive because it seemed too good to be true. And that's because it was. The place that this t-shirt printers was in is like a converted fort. So this fort, I think it was either a World War One or World War, I think it was a World War One fort that then got converted when World War II happened. But it was a World War One. I think it was a World. I have to check, but it was like a World War One fort, and inside all the bunker archways. So they built like archways to store things in, and also to have barracks and things like that. Those had all been converted into different business spaces, which meant that everything was damp. Everything was kind of musty and a little moldy, and it needed, especially in the winter, you'd go in the mornings and sometimes there'd be condensation on the inside of all the windows and the walls, because anyway, I'm not going to go into how gross this place was, but I didn't realize at the time. I was just very excited to get started, and I realized that I loved t-shirt printing. It was great. I loved it. It was a really fun thing to start with, like for the first 6 months, learning the craft, setting up all the screens, learning how to mix inks a little bit, knowing how to use all the equipment, things like setting the dryer to, like it was a belt dryer, so it would be a conveyor belt with a box over the top, and it would be, I think it was infrared dryer or UV dryer, no, it must have been infrared, I can't remember, it was a long time ago, but I learned all about t-shirt printing and the craft of that, and it was great, because it was little nuances like, oh, I just burnt a t-shirt and turned it into a tortilla because it just crisped up, I better go and fix that for next time, and it was a lot of problem solving and learning as I went, but it all gave me the opportunity to learn a new skill. Every time I went in, I was learning something new, probably for the first 6 to 8 months. And I'd spend my time between making screens and printing. So in many places now, most if you go to like a modern t-shirt printers with all the automatic presses and things like that, you'll have people who just work on the screens all day, and then you'll just have people who work on the machines. But because this company I was working at was so small, it was actually, I was doing everything. So my boss would just give me some briefs and some acetates that he'd got done for the job, which you'd use to expose the screens on. That's how you get the design. So you like coat the screen in emulsion, and then you expose it to UV light, cover it using a piece of acetate with black ink on with the design to make sure that certain parts of it are exposed and certain parts aren't. Then you wash it out with like a hose. And maybe a light sponge as well, and then leave it and let it dry and all that. And it takes forever to make screens. Like I would be probably spending 2 to 4 hours a day making screens, and a lot of it was just stood around waiting. And the other reason for that was because I'm just telling you about this job now, but I'd spend my time going back and forth between printing and making screens, and I'd have to do a lot of time management to figure all that out. But I was actually having to make screens in a different place. So where I worked didn't have the facilities or the exposure unit to make the screens. I had to go down the road it's literally across the yard, but it was easily still a minute, 2 minutes back and forth by the time you've done it, to go to an electronics production company who would make different circuit boards, and they would use the screen making tools to make very fine electronic screens where they'd print using like metallic paint so it would be used for circuit boards. And I'd use their equipment. So I'd be constantly back and forth between these two businesses. And my God, it was, the first 6 months of it were fine. It was quite entertaining. But when it was cold, when it was icy, when it was pouring it with rain, anything that got wet that I used, or if it was super windy, these screens were so fragile that anytime, if I got it wet, I'd have to remake it because I'd end up with a wet spot on the screen. And it's almost impossible to patch it when it's been wet because you have to just let it dry, but you can't, the second a bit of water or rain hit it, it would run down the screen. And if it ran down the screen at the wrong angle, it would end up, going across the design, which would then get emulsion in the space where I had the design. So the t-shirt design would be ruined. So I'd have to remake the entire screen. So can you imagine, like I'm going back and forth between these two businesses. In the winter, it's horrendously cold because it's in an old fort. It's damp, it's getting moldy in places. Like I swear to God, the inside of this fort at times, you wouldn't want to breathe because it was just so gross and fusty and like bleh. And anyway, it's making me kind of cringe up just thinking about it. Yeah, so that was about 6 to 8 months of that. And I was actually in that place for 2 years, just under, maybe just over 2 years, which was fine. My pay started to go up a little bit, but we're still talking like just over minimum wage for 5 days a week. And so it wasn't great money at all, which obviously meant as my skills improved, I was like, well, I'm not getting paid enough here because I know how much a screen printer should be paid. And I'm not fully qualified, but I'm over halfway there. So I should be able to be like commanding a little bit of a higher wage here. And it just wasn't going to happen. And the reasons for that was because like I still had a love for printing, but my boss was the guy who owned the business. He was an awful businessman. And I have no problem saying that because I know within 6 months of me leaving the company shut down because I saw the writing on the wall. So my boss was, he was awful as a businessman. He was not a great boss. He was not great with people. The environment, the general work environment sucked. And I realized that I wasn't actually doing very much printing. I was ending up running errands. I was making screens for other companies to use. I was preparing shipping orders of different products on the side for inks and stuff like that. And it wasn't working. And the machines and the equipment wasn't working. And money was being invested in all the wrong places. And yeah, it was just kind of all falling apart. There was no forethought or like foresight to see what was coming. But because I saw what was coming, I realized, and it started to make me really miserable. At that time, I also started to realize that my love of printing wasn't actually the printing itself. It was more towards the design side and also seeing all of the designs come to life. So whilst I had the t-shirt job and I was running that and doing that all at the same time, I was also designing stuff on the side just in my own time on my old kind of, I still have that MacBook that I used to do all my design work on. It probably would still run okay, but it wasn't anything good because it was just stuff I was making just because. And I don't think I've still got any of it. Actually, no, I probably do. I just don't want to open it ever again. But the design works on that side were interesting, and I just did it as and when I could, and when I could figure out how to do it myself, I was really enjoying doing that. But I realized that my love of printing was not the printing aspect, it was the design side and seeing, as I say, all those designs come to life. And it just, every week, it just made me more miserable because I'd be making this design stuff, I'd be seeing all this amazing design stuff online, I'd be seeing it on Instagram. And when I got into work, I'd have to print t-shirts for a company whose design work was just trash. Like their design work was just awful. It was absolutely horrendous. And we're talking like clip art, we're talking full vinyl prints, we're talking about text with gradients. It was just awful. All of it was just awful. I think maybe once every couple months, there would be a job that I actually enjoyed printing because I liked the design work. And it makes such a big difference. When you're printing 500 t-shirts of a really shit design, it makes a big difference to be able to see that design and go, that was really cool. I really liked that. That was such a nice job to see finished. I'm really proud of that. And there may be one of those every 6 months. 6 months? No, probably every couple months. But it did really drag me down. And because I had no control over the design work. The design work would either come in or my boss would send it to his mate to do at another company. And I don't know what their arrangement was, but it didn't. It seemed like he maybe was buying him like stuff or... like, he wasn't paying him, I don't think. He was just kind of, like, haggling his mate to do it for free. I don't know. So I realized that my love of the job was I would want to print stuff that I thought was really great and thought was really interesting, or at least to have control over of that. And I had none of that. If I was running my own printing business, I could probably do that, but it wasn't. And I knew this place was basically going to crash and burn. So I got out of there and I quit that job and I started working part-time at the Lidl supermarket, L-I-D-L, Lidl, Lidl, however you guys want to say it, it's Lidl. But that Lidl supermarket was literally two or three estates over from the print shop. So again, I'd picked up a job where I only had to cycle for about 15 minutes to work, which was amazing. And funnily enough, the Lidl job at the supermarket was half the amount of hours for the same pay. So I was effectively on almost double the wage, which was kind of shows you how badly I was paid at the printers. But when I was working at Lidl, because I was only working there part-time, I set myself a challenge to try and make logos every day and put them on Instagram. A lot of those, well, none of those are on my main feed anymore. They're all archived, but I just haven't put them up because they're just not showcasing what I want to do anymore, obviously. But it worked for a long time, and I worked and worked and worked and worked and got better at the tools. The Lidl job was quite interesting. There was a lot of new skills to learn, like I was running the bakery and stuff like that too, which is, by the way, not a proper bakery. Everything comes like, well, everything's not, none of it's cooked. It doesn't come in cooked. It comes in like flash frozen, if anyone's wondering. But it's all like the best pastries and stuff you'll get. But I'm bigging up Lidl because I love it. But anyway, so I worked for a long time to get better at the tools for design. And I was just, again, learning Illustrator, learning a bit of Photoshop, trying to make different things, largely working with icons and logos just because that was going really well. And I was doing that little job for maybe for 8 months or so. And then it kind of got a little bit difficult because the summer of 2016, I think. Not quite sure. For me, years and dates are a complete mess. But whichever summer it was, I'd been working at Lidl for about 8 months. And the girl I was seeing at the time, who I was meant to be moving in with, we'd like started working on a house and stuff and all that type of stuff. So we broke up. And obviously, I'd been having this Lidl job because I was like, okay, well, I need to save some money, but I also want to do some design stuff. I need to be able to earn enough money to pay my expenses, but be able to do my own thing on the side. And so I'd taken on this job. I didn't really want it, but it was fine. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't super bad. And I did that just kind of the money. And my plan was then in ruins because my ex at the time, we broke up. And it was like, okay, well, now what the hell do I do? Because I have been working on this design skill. I've got this money all saved up and I'm just not going to use any of it. So I stuck out. What are the words? Connor, use the words. So I stayed at Lidl for probably a few more months. I think it was maybe 6 months at the most, a bit longer. And I left and quit the job the day before New Year's Eve because I was like, I am not. There is no way in hell I am spending my New Year's Eve working at Lidl because there would be some people who do that. They'd shut early, but you'd still not be home till like 9 p.m. And I was like, well, that sucks. So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to start my year working at Lidl. And I decided at that moment that that was when I was going to go and try to do design full time because I started out after that trying to apply for jobs and stuff. But I was so invested in design at that point, and I'd kind of given up on my original plan, which was to move in with this girl and things like that. But I just wanted to pick something that I wanted to do and just go with it and charge ahead with it and see where it went, because I can always go and get a job at Lidl. I can always go and learn how to do t-shirt printing. I have the skill. Like, I could go to any t-shirt printers and be like, hey, I know how this thing works. Can you hire me? And they'd probably be like, yeah, sure. Here's some minor training on this piece of equipment you've not used. And we're done and we're good to go. But that's when I got into design full time. And that's kind of the story of what made me go there full time, what made me super interested in it, and how I got to where I came from. Because, I mean, I can talk about design heroes, I can talk about Aaron Dreplin and Christo and finding all these other people too, but that main story in a roundabout way was how I got into design. And I think it was important to share that with you because it shows how up and down that path was and roundabout, and how much discovery and how many years had to go into the making of realizing exactly what I wanted to do. So hopefully you've enjoyed listening to this episode. We're getting close to that 30-minute mark, so I'm going to chop things off right here. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back same time next week. I should hopefully have a guest next week, but if not, I'm really happy that you guys are enjoying these solo episodes. And if you have any particular topics you'd like me to talk about, please put it down on my Instagram or on Twitter using the hashtag FowlerHour, and we can check it out from there. And also thank you to Skillshare for giving you guys 2 free months of Skillshare at skl.sh/CFowlerDesign. We'll be back here, same time, next week. Bye for now.